Jesus Christ. Amen. From today's gospel lesson, Matthew 22, verses 8 to 10 will be the basis of our meditation today. Then Jesus said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those that I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and they gathered all the people that they could find, both good and bad, and then the wedding hall was filled with guests. A husband and a wife were having a late supper together on Friday night, and the wife said to her husband, "You know, we received a wedding invitation in the mail today, RSVP. And the husband said, "Oh, really? Who's getting married?" And the wife said, "The son of the president of your company where you work." And the husband said, "Well, that's pretty important, I guess. I suppose that we had better go to that wedding." And the wife said, "Well, I would certainly think so. I mean, it's the son of your boss at the place where you work." And then the husband said, "You know, but I just don't know how I'm ever going to find the time. I have to look over that new piece of property that we just bought, or else we're going to be in real trouble. I've got at least 3 reports that I need to repair. I just don't see how I can take the time to attend that wedding. Honey, you write a nice note and explain the situation. You do it. I just can't attend that wedding myself." Now, that situation is kind of a modern telling of this parable that Jesus told in today's gospel lesson. All people on earth receive a personal invitation from the Lord. He calls them to the wedding banquet of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And he says to them in that gospel invitation, "Hey, everybody, the banquet is ready. Come on. The honor of your presence is requested at the marriage feast of God's Son, Jesus Christ, your Savior and your Lord." And that invitation from God to all of humanity is marked, "Répondez, s'il vous plaît." My French may not be very good, but that means respond in a hurry, please. All too often, though, things of lesser importance get in our way. Say things like, "Honey, why don't you write a nice note to the Lord and explain to him all the important things that I have to do, all the distractions in my life, things that keep me busy. I mean, maybe later when things lighten up." Well, let's jump from there and try and do some unscrambling of this parable that Jesus told, the parable of the wedding banquet. First of all, let's make sure what we understand, what we mean by this word parable. Have you noticed now in the gospel lesson the last several weeks, parable after parable after parable that Jesus tells? My Sunday school teacher in St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Muskegon when I was in third grade taught me what a parable was. I remember with a flannel graph that she had out there. And that flannel graph explaining the word parable, she said, "A parable is an earthly story but with a heavenly meaning. It's a little tale from life, from the everyday world, like reality TV, but it has a deeper and a more profound spiritual meaning." Jesus' audience for this parable, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, is recorded in Matthew 21, verse 23. Jesus entered into the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people, that is, the leaders of the organized church in his day, they said to Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the authority?" The leaders of the organized church, the real people who lynched Jesus Christ, not really the Romans, they just perpetrated the deed. It was the leaders of the Jewish church at the time of Christ, the organized church. They were the mole under the ground that really engineered the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, rooted in their rejection of him as God's Messiah, the Savior of the world. They received God's gracious invitation for centuries in the Old Testament. The prophets talked about the Messiah, the Son of God, who would come to save his people from their sins, the one who would crush the serpent's head and bring victory and deliverance to the people of God. But they rejected Jesus as Savior and Lord and as the Messiah that God had sent into the world. And so according to this parable that Jesus lays out in order to explain this dynamic, we've got a king, and of course the king is God, and he plans a wedding banquet, a celebration of salvation in honor of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about this in Isaiah 25, verse 6. Here on Mount Zion, the Lord Almighty will prepare a banquet for all nations of the world, a banquet of the richest food and the finest wine. That's a picture of our salvation in Jesus Christ, a great and grand celebration, a wedding feast, a tremendous experience of joy and celebration, forgiveness of sins, life eternal by grace and through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the central figure at that wedding banquet. There's no party without the Lord Jesus, the Son of the King who throws the banquet feast. Now the king sent out his servants. These servants in the parable would be the apostles, the evangelists, the writers of the scriptures in the Old Testament that send out God's invitation to this wedding feast, to the Jews, to the people of God, giving them a personal invitation as the people of God, men and women of the chosen race, to receive Christ and to welcome one another as they attend the wedding feast, the celebration of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. The king sends a second invitation because that first invitation to the invited guests, the network, the chosen people of the king, the Lord, they reject the invitation as they reject Christ as Savior and Lord. And so the king, he sends another wave of servants, the apostles and evangelists and writers of the scripture, to re-communicate that invitation of grace to the wedding banquet. But again, the invited guests, that would be the Jews, they make flimsy excuses and they justify their lack of action and their lack of response, and they decline that invitation. Some of the invited guests actually beat up the servants, the prophets, the evangelists, the writers of Scripture, and they even kill the king's servants. The king is angry, and he judges the invited guests, the Jews, by sending his army to burn their city and to actually predict the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70 under the Romans. The Roman army then marched into Jerusalem, led by the future emperor Titus and Tiberius, who was second in command. They laid siege to the city of Jerusalem and burned it to the ground. Then, in verse 6, the king sends more servants, but this time he doesn't send them to the invited guests. He says, just go out into downtown. Go out into the main streets. Go out into the highways and the byways and extend this gospel invitation to bums, to scums, to hookers, to rednecks, to ethnic half-breeds, to whoever you can find, invite them all. Those are Gentiles. That's you. That's me. Not members of the chosen race, but Gentiles. We receive that invitation of grace along with the Jews, of course. There's no single class of people that are excluded anymore. It's a universal invitation of grace. And so now, finally, the wedding hall is jammed to the ceiling. There's probably even a rock band. Remember that we talked about some weeks ago? And there's even, if you look, a dance floor there. Be careful, be careful. There's a dance floor. Now, let me just draw a couple of conclusion thoughts about the meaning and the application of this parable that Jesus tells. I think one thing that needs to be said is, first of all, heaven is going to be an exciting, celebrative feast, a party forever and ever. Now, we all know that we Lutherans love to eat, and we've been known to even sip a little bit now and then. Heaven is not a schoolroom where we get lectured 24 hours a day. Heaven is not a 24/7, 365 church service with a boring pastor. Heaven is a fun-filled, exciting, dynamic wedding reception. And by the way, in those days, the Jews had weddings that lasted a full week, 7 days. People would come and celebrate and party and eat and drink, go back home, come back the next day and do it again for a full week. And this is going to be a wonderful, exciting, we sometimes talk about going to a better place, but I want to tell you, it's not a boring place, it's not a sedate place, it's a place of joy and celebration around the throne of Christ, the Lamb who was slain. And another thought would be, and I think it's just important that we celebrate that today, that heaven really is a wonderful and a great place. I remember as a child saying, well, yeah, want to go to heaven, and that sounds great, but, you know, I didn't know, somehow I had a vision that this was going to be a 24-hour-a-day church service, and I says, well, you know, I think maybe I'll hang around here for a while, but it's going to be a feast, a wonderful, joyful celebration with the Lord and with the apostles and with saints of all the ages from the Old and the New Testament gathered together, celebrating, reunited in Christ Jesus our Lord. And secondly, another thing I think that needs to be said is that God expects us to répondez, s'il vous plaît, to RSVP to his invitation of grace as he sends it out. Not to make excuses, not to delay, but to respond, RSVP. Let me tell you a story about a young man who met a very beautiful French girl when he was attending college. And when he saw that girl, he was swept away with the deepest and the most profound love. And so he decided, I got to have this woman as my wife. And so he decided that he was going to prepare himself totally and completely before he would even ask her for a date, because he didn't want to be rejected. And so he was going to prepare himself like crazy. He actually enrolled in college in a course on French history so he could talk intelligently with her. And he even took a course in the French language and learned how to speak it. And finally, at the end of the semester, many, many months of study, now he's ready and he's prepared to make his move. But when he called that beautiful gal on the telephone for a date, he learned that she was already engaged to a tackle on the football team, a guy who couldn't even spell his name, let alone speak good English. Let alone French. Point, preparation is good, but over-preparation can really defeat the purpose and the blessing of decisive action. Hesitation, delay, excuses, over-preparation can actually become a disaster. And so it is with God's gracious invitation to the kingdom of God. Répondez, s'il vous plaît, when he sends out that invitation of grace. Respond with urgency and immediately. St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We sing in the hymnal, delay not, O sinner, draw near. Now is the day of salvation. We sing also, today your mercy calls us to wash away our sin. I'll tell you, most people stand, not everybody, but most people stand for the national anthem. We should be standing for those kinds of hymns that call us to an urgent RSVP to God's invitation of grace. Let me close. There was a passionate young man who spotted another very beautiful girl walking in a park, and he was just swept away. He was just moved in his heart, and he followed that gal for 15 minutes. He just couldn't even take his eyes off of her. Finally, after 15 minutes, the girl wheeled around and says, why do you keep dogging my footsteps? And the gentleman said, because you're just so beautiful. I'm madly in love with you, and I want you to be mine forever. She said to him, but you know, All you have to do is turn around and look behind you at my younger sister. She's much more beautiful than I am. So the man wheeled around, but there was no one there. Saw no one at all. And the guy was kind of upset with that, and he said, "You've mocked me. You lied to me. You made me a fool." And the girl said, "If you were so madly in love with me, then why did you turn around?" What's it going to be for you and me, and for our spouses, and for the members of our family, some of whom may be black sheep that don't know Christ and follow Him? Is it going to be abiding, passionate love and an RSVP response to that gospel invitation? Or will it be just a temporary infatuation where we turn around and get distracted and look the other way? Do we respond to Jesus' RSVP invitation to the kingdom now, as He calls, in grace? Or do we turn our heads in the direction of every passing distraction? Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your faith, for your response to that invitation, RSVP. Come to the wedding feast. It's all prepared. The oxen and the animals have been slaughtered, and the finest wine is there, and we celebrate the joys of our salvation. And we do that as we gather together around the Word of God and around His wonderful feast, His banquet of the Lord's Supper, where we receive Christ's true body and blood. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, what can we say? Together, we need to hasten, we need to hurry, we need to hustle to RSVP to God's wedding feast for His Son, Jesus Christ. So let's stay focused. Don't walk, don't jog, run. Run for your life, everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen.